In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions, one coin, two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
And I'm Vikram.
What's up, Vikram?
Nothing much, man.
Ready to feud?
Yes.
Well, Vikram, I mentioned top-rated movies, but this is not exactly a top-rated movie.
Oh, wow. Right out the gate, Vidur.
Before we get into the nuance of what I just said, why don't you tell the good folk, our listeners, what we're doing here today?
Sure thing. So we take a movie, toss a coin, heads argues for and tails argues against.
Simple.
Yep. Pretty simple.
Well, and today I mentioned the whole top-rated shenanigans because we are going to be feuding Star Wars Episode II, mm-hmm. Attack of the Clones. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Not precisely a top-rated movie. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're usually doing IMDb Top 250 movies, yeah. But, you know, in the run-up to the upcoming Star Wars bonanza.
We're gripped with Star Wars fever right now.
That's true. And which also bears mentioning that we are usually quite gripped with Star Wars. We are Star Wars fans.
Super fans.
Yeah. Well, not like super fans. Star Wars super fans have like...
Not like super, super fans, but we're super, more super than the average fans. Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't. I don't have a Star Wars tattoo, but I have Star Wars cufflinks, you know? That's how far I'll go.
So, yeah, that's more than the average fan.
I'm smarter than the average Star Wars bear. And this movie, not rated the highest, but I haven't seen it in a while. Uh-huh. And I'm just going to lay my cards out on the table.
Okay.
I'm willing to give it a shot.
All right. When was the last time you saw it?
I watched it... I can't remember. So that's neither a good sign or a bad sign, I'd say.
The only reason I asked you this question was because I don't have the answer for it as well. I've maybe seen this movie twice.
Wait, you go through this whole like, mm-hmm. I watch every prequel every couple of years, right?
No. So you have to... mess this up. I'll just clarify again for the fifth time. I watch the original trilogy every 3 years. And I throw in like a random Star Wars movie here and there. This has somehow missed my Star Wars movie viewing for whatever reason, which we'll find out, I guess. I haven't seen this movie in a while.
So okay.
I'm excited to go watch it again.
So we're both going into the movie unbiased. And uh-huh. I suppose we're going into the coin toss unbiased. Yeah. I think any Star Wars listener worth their salt knows how trepidatious we are for this coin toss.
So, we're doing Attack of the Clones?
Yeah, we're doing Attack of the Clones. Okay. So let's get to it.
Yeah.
Why don't we toss a coin?
Please.
I'll be tossing the coin.
Best
and
of luck.
If it's heads, I argue for. And tails, argue against.
Best
Let's go.
Of luck, man. Best of luck.
Why, thank you. And it's heads. I am for Attack of the Clones. Listen, this movie is very underrated. And fresh eyes, fresh short, fresh force. I'm willing to watch this with.
Brother, you're dead. You're going to get so creeped this episode.
Dude, I haven't seen it in so long. Who knows?
That won't make it better.
Who knows what gems it might
That's
have.
That's only probably going to make it worse.
No. I remember some good things about this movie. In fact, you know, we didn't cover this pre-coin toss, but we actually watched this movie together. Do you remember in high school?
I do not actually, no.
I think you were over at my place and my parents, as they usually would just go drop us nerds off to a bookstore and pick us up like 6 hours later.
Yeah. Shout out to Sector 18, Noida.
Sector 18, Noida. Gilgotias and Texans.
Yeah, Texans.
Amazing bookstores back in the day. And the thing was, we were going to go watch this movie at some point in the weekend.
Okay.
And they had released, you know, at the time, those like, what do they call them? Like pre-movie Bibles and... You know, like, what do they call them?
Well,
like,
just
full workbooks.
Disney money making, Lucasfilm money making machines.
Yeah, they used to take money from us, aka our parents at the time. And we got really pumped about this movie, man, because, you know, Phantom Menace had disappointed the world at the time.
No, we'd liked it.
We'd just gotten old enough to even, like, get what's going on. And we were pretty pumped. I remember seeing, like, posters. I remember reading those, like, pre-materials, getting really pumped. So, my first experience with this movie. Positive is what I'm trying to say.
Well, before watching the movie or after watching it as well?
Before and then during, because we were fans, we were all together. And I remember you liking it too. I'm calling you out. I remember you liking the movie. So let's not pretend that you've never liked
this. I do not remember this.
Of course you don't.
There's no witness. It's your word against
the movie.
Mine.
You're against in the coin toss, so now you don't remember.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't like this movie, dude. There's a reason I've only seen this movie twice.
Okay. Let's give it a fair shot. That's all I'm asking you, Vikram.
Look, I'm just excited to go rewatch this because it's been so long. I'm just a little skeptical that while watching, I will very quickly realize why I haven't rewatched this movie. But I'm still going to give it a fair shot.
Oh, that's all I can ask.
Yeah, I
have a feeling it's going to surprise you.
Yeah. Let's wait.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's go watch this movie.
Let's go watch the movie.
I knew it. What is this? What is it? I'm confused to this day. What is the purpose of this movie? This is the sole reason why Star Wars is looked at the way it is. It's not one, it's not three, it's not seven, it's not eight. It's this trash. I hate it. And I watched it.
You come prepared with an opening rant, by the way?
My entire feud, just disclaimer, is going to be a rant because this movie is horrible, dude.
Firstly, I think I should be allowed to speak first because...
Go for it, man.
The weight of defending this movie is on my shoulder.
And you're going to just crumble horribly, so why don't you just start?
And I'm pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
Listen.
The only way you can be pleasantly surprised is if you just do the run-up of watching this movie, watch three of the worst movies ever made, and then watch this movie, and they're like, it wasn't as bad as those movies.
It's not even as bad as the rest of the prequels, which is not bad, I guess, right?
That's just straight lies.
Listen, I'm not
lying.
I'm not saying,
you need to defend it. You can't lie.
I'm not lying. I'm not saying this is an IMDb top 250 movie.
It's not an IMDb top nothing movie.
IMDb top 1000 movie.
You know what? IMDb should start a bottom 250.
No, and this movie would not be on
100%.
It's better than Star Wars sequels, which I know is not saying much. That's a low benchmark. But at least it furthered the world of Star Wars. And as for your whole rant, I'm going to quote the great dueling Master Yoda from this movie. Okay. One of the high points of this movie.
Right.
Little spinny Yoda.
Yeah.
No longer a puppet.
Yeah. CGI.
Much to learn you still have, my old Padawan. Because there are some gems in this movie.
Yeah. We'll talk about the line gems, man. But I'll just very quickly, before we deep dive, I'll tell you why, or I'll tell you how much I hate this movie. This is my third viewing of this movie. I've seen Solo four times. I've seen Solo four times.
I judge you.
Okay. I've seen this movie thrice.
You're losing credit, by the way.
I avoided this movie like a plague. I've seen 7 and 8 a few times as well. And don't get me wrong, those movies are horrible. But when I watch them, I do feel some connection to Star Wars. And I felt nothing here at all. Nope.
They do such a good job in making you feel the connection in this movie. In fact, some people think of it as a weak point, but you know, they have obviously Obi-Wan and Anakin. This is the first time you see them together, man. Are you even processing this? I know you can't, but when we watched it in 9th grade, that's when we processed it.
What was Obi-Wan's hairstyle?
It's Vader and Obi-Wan together for the first time on screen as like Padawan and Master.
It took
the history
movie.
Of Star Wars. There's a reason this movie comes in the machete order, where after you watch Empire Strikes Back, you go back and watch the history of the two of them together. And then they say little like inside Star Wars things, like at one point Obi-Wan goes, why do I get the feeling you'll be the death of me?
Uh-huh.
Wink, wink. Because
wow.
Vader kills Obi-Wan.
Great
do you
stuff.
Get it?
Great stuff.
They have so much other connection to Star Wars that even 7 and 8 lack sometimes. Jango Fett, father of the great Boba Fett.
Great Boba Fett.
Well, they had a character that people were like just obsessed with. And you know, the Mandalorian's out now. It took them like 20 years to actually get around to doing something Boba Fett related. But until then, we had Jango. Jango uncloned.
You know, this movie could have been completely avoided by just adding a small addendum to the scroll of episode 3, which could just say like, guys, Anakin and Padme really like each other, like a lot.
That's huge.
Super hard. And then just have the rest of the scroll for 3.
Empire Strikes Back could have been completely avoided by just saying, guys, by the way, Darth Vader is his father.
No.
Next movie.
It's still a good movie.
No, the second movies in Star Wars movies are always fillers. That's just how it is.
But 5 is such
Empire
a heavy filler.
It.
It's such a heavy filler.
So is this? Heavy filler, bro. Clone Wars. Something they referred to. Why are you laughing?
Cause
you're not giving me any credit
for
my point.
I can't take it seriously
right
now.
The Clone Wars start. You remember when you first heard about the Clone Wars in A New Hope and you're like, oh my God, what are the Clone Wars?
Uh-huh.
And this is the beginning of the Clone Wars?
Yeah.
And then Padme. You know, this is the foundation for like, why did Darth Vader turn? Which is what the prequels are all about.
I feel
Annie
like I just...
and Padme sitting on a tree, KISSING.
Oh God, dude!
First comes marriage, then comes Luke, then comes Vader.
You missed out
killing
Leia.
Obi-Wan.
Okay, you missed out Leia. She came too.
Yeah, so did most of the franchise, I guess. So I skipped over her.
Just the love story bit, man. I feel like this movie was made for two reasons, particularly. Trying, heavy air quotes on trying, and trying to show Anakin turning, which is a huge fail, because he just comes across as a mushy-mushy mama's boy.
Except he kills Tusken Raiders by the tens.
Mushy-mushy mama's boy. And the actual turn just gets lost in the unnecessarily lyrd script. And the second reason was CGI Yoda fighting, which could have honestly come in third.
Concede CGI Yoda.
It was great.
He did come in third as well.
Yeah, but it was a weaker fight. It was just like weird Senate thingies falling on top of your head, Palpatine fighting. Like, this was like a straight Jedi lightsaber duel. So just for those two reasons, you're trying to make this movie. I mean, Lucas is notorious for just unnecessarily
making movies.
Clone Wars, I mean, yeah, whatever. Begun the Clone Wars have now. That's what, fine. It could have happened in third. It could have happened in this movie. It's an unnecessary...
Dude, the clones look pretty awesome, man.
They look awesome. The CGI for its time.
The CGI for its time is mind-blowing. There is too much green screen. Yeah. I'll grant that.
A lot. Most in this movie.
Yeah, it was one of the first movies to be pure digital, shot on digital.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you have to hand it to Lucas, man. I know, like, ILM changed the game decades ago. And then with this movie as well.
Yeah.
Most movies are now only shot on digital. Most movies are shot on green screen. It's just that the, like, surrounding technology became better. So, like, the Avengers movie seems more photorealistic.
Yeah.
And this doesn't. But, okay, but even something like Jar Jar from episode one became much better. And actually, because he was rendered better, I found him less annoying. He was also less in the movie.
Yeah.
Lucas taking feedback.
Yeah, okay.
gotta give it up for that. I'm sure he planned Jar Jar throughout the whole prequels.
He was like the leading star.
More or less.
Lucas like, comic I should tone down on that. But right? it's like an unnecessary 2-hour, 22-minute runtime, man. For a movie this bad, if it would have been an hour, 30 minutes, it would have been so much more digestible.
Listen, all I could say is I connected with it.
How? Please elaborate.
I too hate sand.
That line, dude.
It gets everywhere, dude. I hate the beach.
I forgot that line.
I hate the beach. I completely get where he's coming from. It's coarse and it gets in your flip-flops. He should have said that. It's coarse and it gets in your flip-flops.
Yeah.
And I just want to be next to you and water. And and you know, they actually cut out a lot of like Padme and Annie in...
Oh, that was more?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the courtship, if you may.
Jesus.
They cut out a lot of that.
Thank God.
Yeah. I would concede that
I love that you're being an apologist right now, because you've called me an apologist for like a month straight now. So this is just beautiful to see.
I too hate sand. I love lamb.
Are you haunted by the kiss that she should have never given you?
The dialogue in this movie needs some work, but it's not Lucas's forte, okay? And he's directing the movies himself and he's writing them. He had a lot of pressure on his shoulders, man. Come on.
I guess. Okay. Just an excerpt from a review I read. If Ewan McGregor can sell a scene of exposition with a computer-generated Deli owner?
Oh, the
computer-generated
scene.
Yeah, where he's trying to find the thing. Then Natalie Portman can also sell her love for Anakin better. Nailed it. And I thought Hayden Christensen was the weak link in this movie. And then I saw Natalie Portman as well. And both of them together are so bad.
But that's basically a concession. Hayden Christensen is not as bad. And he gets all the
hate
in this
movie. As Natalie Portman, yes.
He's trying, dude. He's like an 18-year-old kid. And he's like, oh my God, I killed Tusken Raiders. Like, sniff, sniff.
Sure, not entirely his fault. It's probably more of Lucas's fault for choosing him as the actor. But...
And Lucas's fault for directing each scene, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Directing actors.
Always. Whenever
we know
Lucas
Natalie Portman can act, so...
Yeah.
Okay, so Lucas messed up a little bit with the acting. But it's still Star Wars. Like, look at all the fun shit happening, right? Also, throwback to Empire, Asteroid Chase, throwback... The final 20 minutes of this movie is actually good. Like, I'll grant, like, it's somewhat tedious getting there. Thankfully, it's not that long. It's just, like, 2 hours, 10 minutes or something.
It's 2 hours, 22 minutes.
Well, and then credits and all that. 2 hours, 10. Just give me that.
That's a long movie, dude.
It's not that much. Like, it flows okay. Like, not much happens, but... That's my problem in general with the episode 2 of Star Wars. Last Jedi, still there's a lot happening, but not much there in like that slow chase. Star Wars second movies are fillers. And obviously it started with Empire, it continued with this, and now it's a pattern. So not much was ever going to happen. And then when the Clone Wars start, man, after they get on Geonosis, I think the planet's called, and they've been captured by Dooku and he's put them in the gladiator ring. Yes, too many CGI animals, but again, it kicked off something for its time. This movie and Lord of the Rings started a revolution in the early 2000s, right? So I give them a pass on the CGI. And then like... hundreds of Jedi, hundreds of lightsabers in a little like arena. How fun was that?
But I would have expected more from that fight. All they're doing is just deflecting bullets back to where they're coming from. That's all they're doing.
But they're not all like Anakin and go around killing like Tusken Raiders. They kill some like droids here and there.
Yeah. It wasn't exciting at all. In fact, I do remember that. I remembered that scene pretty clearly. I remember that scene was a major part of the movie before I watched it. And I was kind of excited leading up to that scene. But when I watched it, it was just, whatever. I've seen better in Star Wars.
Yeah, because we've seen better now. You know,
in prequels, I've seen better. Three has some crazy fights.
Three came after this movie,
one,
by the way.
One had the finale with Darth Maul. According to me, is still one of the best lightsaber fights in Star Wars, all movies.
This had Anakin dual wielding for like a few seconds.
Oh, yeah.
When Obi-Wan throws him his lightsaber against Dooku.
Great stuff.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Plus, unlike, in the second episode, they're supposed to lose in the middle of the trilogy. So they lose. Then Yoda comes to the rescue.
Yeah.
How awesome was that?
Also,
dude?
Which has been a Star Wars problem overall also is that the character building is so out of the blue, right? Like, even Darth Maul just came out of the blue, became like a major villainous character in the movie, but he didn't have enough dialogue, he didn't have enough screen time to actually warrant character building. Here, Count Dooku, where's he coming from? Who is he? What's his motivation stuff? Although, yeah, he's just a big, he's the heir apparent to Darth Sidious, and that's it. And they just throw him in there and expect you to be afraid of him as a bad guy, which doesn't work.
Well, that's also a Star Wars typical thing.
Yeah.
That's Vader in the very first movie.
Yeah.
That's Sidious as like the puppet master in the second, the Empire Strikes Back. Only in the third, when they finally made like a real trilogy out of it, it's sorted. Technically, that's Snoke in the first movie as well, man.
Snoke is actually a good example. Vader, in fact, the entire first movie built up to him being a baddie in the second movie. And then the third movie,
even though it was not intended as that. I mean, in the first movie, as like, taking the first movie just solo, unexplained bad guy, right?
Yeah, and then he becomes the actual bad guy because you've seen him for entire movie. So he becomes the de facto bad guy and you believe that he's a bad guy. And in the third one, Sidious comes in and they do a pretty good job in terms of gelling together as that bad unit. Snoke, I completely agree with. He's just out of the blue, exactly like Count Dooku. Like, I don't fear Count Dooku as a character.
I think Dooku's a little miscast, you know? I'll grant you that. Because, like, I don't fear him as well, but they try to give him characterization in terms of the history, right? That he was Qui-Gon Jinn's master. And then afterwards, you find out he was Yoda's apprentice. But I guess every Jedi is Yoda's apprentice at some point, or every Jedi master, at least.
Yeah.
And then he's just badass with his force techniques, which is a throwback to the Emperor and lightning. This is the first time you see lightning after 6. So that's badass enough. He could have been a little more menacing in his acting, I'll grant you that.
He's actually a great actor.
Yeah, isn't he like acting royalty, basically?
Yeah, he's really good. So that's
so they pulled an Obi-Wan. They pulled like an Alec Guinness, you know?
Kind of, yeah. Even though the fact that they're repeating mistakes is just torture to watch.
It's like that George Lucas quote. It's like poetry. It rhymes. That's why the same things happen in different episodes. Yeah, so that's why like bad acting happens in different episodes as well.
I mean, you keep comparing this to the fillers of the next two sets of movies. This is by far the worst filler between the other two.
Well, a lot more things happen in this filler than those other fillers.
That's not true.
Apart from I'm Your Father.
And just because more plot lines are sort of coming to the fore and evolving doesn't mean it necessarily makes for a good movie, right? It's still badly executed. Look, I grant you the CGI, and I'll grant you the CGI for all the prequels, and ILM actually paved the way for modern CGI, like, and these are the movies that did it. But really, apart from that, there's nothing I can concede.
This movie took some risks.
Okay, if you want to call them risks.
Anakin slaughters people.
Okay.
Starts turning.
Yeah.
Padme marries him despite that. Padme marries a murderer.
Yeah.
So thereby showcasing the
Padme's character is the worst fleshed out character in like Star Wars history. Like they could do so much with that character, and because of her sort of effect on Anakin, she's a big reason why he actually turns, because he has dreams, and then like in 3 we'll see that he has dreams, and then she's gonna die and he wants to save her, and that's a major sort of turn that Sidious sort of banks on.
But she's a strong independent woman with power.
She's all like Senate and voting. Oh, I love you, Annie, 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 Coast Sand, and that's it.
And she has a great midriff. which they focus on a lot in this movie.
All right.
You know, I guess we appreciate as a bunch.
Yeah.
As a ninth grader watching this.
I guess. I mean, that's, it's no Leia from the
Jabba the Hutt of the Jedi. Yeah. Yeah. And then she has a lot of agency. You know, you got to give her that. Like, even in the end when she falls from the CGI plane into the sand,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, the stormtrooper comes to her, she's like, no, we got to go, like, complete the mission and, like,
seriously,
fight.
Bro. Seriously. Seriously. Is that how deep you're digging?
When she's in the pit, the gladiator pit, and then Anakin and Obi-Wan are like trying to figure out how to conquer the beast, and Anakin's like, I gotta take care of Padme. Padme is like climbing up the pole, and Obi-Wan recognizes she's got it covered. You worry about yourself. That's how badass Padme is.
I have no response to that at all.
Am I reaching? Maybe, but maybe you need to dig a little deep to get the juice out of this movie.
I'm enjoying this so much right now because it's like
I'm gonna win this feud, dude.
It ended before it started, by the way. I will just make that clear to you.
No, but
you
gonna get victory from the jaws of defeat the way the Jedi did
in this movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, they were surrounded, and then Yoda comes to the rescue.
Right. Right. Okay.
Sam Jackson killing Jango Fett. That was badass.
Was it purple lightsaber?
We hadn't seen a purple lightsaber. I totally forgot, dude. Purple lightsaber. Like, you know, they probably wouldn't even get away with such a hardcore black stereotype in this day and age.
Uh-huh.
But we got to benefit from the loser cultural pushback
of
the
2002.
Time. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Okay, purple. So your pros to this
small,
movie?
Tiny lightsaber that Yoda fights with. It's uh-huh. so cute. It's a tiny lightsaber.
It is cute. It is cute. All right. So your pros to this movie are CGI. Purple lightsaber.
I don't need to list them all, by the way.
I list them.
I've organically just encompassed the positive vibes I have about this movie.
I just
you don't need to deconstruct my feud.
I want to for my own pleasure. Okay. So it's CGI, mm-hmm. purple lightsaber, mm-hmm. Samuel L. Jackson.
I hate sand too.
Mm-hmm. That's your pro, actually.
No, it's huge.
Oh, it's huge?
That's a big part of my connection with this movie.
And and Padme Amidala. That's your pro?
Certain parts of acting.
Okay, apart from CGI, these are like strong cons for me for this movie. So I don't think there's any middle ground that we'll be able to
much
find.
Much to learn, you still have, my old Padawan.
There's just also like, you were complaining in one about the over-reliance on politics and the blockade and stuff.
We don't refer to old feuds or
there's
new
so
feuds.
Much, there's so much Senate.
You're
and
breaking
voting.
Feud rules.
All right. There's so much politics in this movie for a kid to understand. There's just like, it feels like they're just trying to fill out dead air.
No.
Just make
see,
up
that's
scenes.
The difference. You know what the genius about this is? This is no longer a kid's movie. This is a teen's movie.
Oh, because
like, Star Wars is growing up. Yeah, yeah. So whatever Anakin age, it's like Harry Potter. Whatever age Anakin is,
uh-huh.
is appropriate for this movie.
But then they had a three or 2.5 year gap, but the movie goes like 10 year gap.
Okay.
How does that work?
Worked out for us. Like, we've got Phantom Menace in 6th grade and this movie in 9th grade, where, you know, you have to struggle a little bit, but you figure it out. In Phantom Menace, it made no sense. Here, it's like, okay, you can get away with it. And if you actually do follow it, then finally the politics become interesting, right? Like, why do you care about a trade war between the Naboo and the Federation or whatever the hell was? But here you care because finally Palpatine gets emergency powers.
Why are you calling him Palpatine?
Sheev Palpatine?
Yeah.
Oh, the Thur versus the Thur?
Yeah.
Oh, I just like to...
It's like the Padme and the Palpatines.
Is it not... Well, it's not Padme for sure, even though that's what they call her.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, man. I don't think Lucas also has any idea. He's probably like, just do what you guys feel like.
Misa, don't mind this movie.
Also, C-3PO and R2-D2, I like the fact that they were unnecessarily used,
mm-hmm.
but their only sort of true reason in this movie was to be witnesses in their wedding.
Yeah, that's pretty huge. Much it. How cute is that?
Cute?
So much history.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a little forced, but it's so much history. I mean,
also the whole hand and the Anakin and the Luke hand thing.
It's like poetry. It rhymes. You haven't heard that George Lucas quote?
Oh God,
it's like poetry, my friend. It rhymes. You know.
I mean, just because you do show two similar things and it's forced rhyming doesn't mean it's poetry. That's my only counter to that, I guess.
I mean, this comes from George Lucas's mind, so if he wants to make
a lot
it
of
rhyme.
Great things have come from his mind, and a lot of horse shit has come from his mind at the same time. And how he managed to sort of negate that was not directing these movies and not like having superior 100% control in terms of writing, production, directing.
But you told me he was forced to direct these movies. Nobody else
He was
would.
Forced to direct one. I don't know about this one. It's just
probably he got a taste for it. He's like, oh, look what I can do with CGI.
Or people saw the script and like, yeah, bro, you got this. And then he just did it.
Listen, man, you got to take the good with the bad. And I know you've conceded the CGI, but there's so many gems. Like I've seen Corridor's CGI breakdown, like CGI artist react videos.
Right.
And even that one scene where the stormtroopers are fighting, where it's a pure CGI scene because it's like stormtroopers versus droids,
mm-hmm.
and you're seeing the blaster shots just go through the air and there's like mist and sand.
Yeah.
And it looks so like photorealistic.
Yeah.
And the kind of things that they're doing, they're actually like rendering all these shots. Each of them have like little like light extrapolations that you need to take care of. And in fact, they added fake camera shake to make it look like war documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
And all that stuff, you have to give it up to George Lucas as a director as well. Yes, it's not a perfect movie. It doesn't have his strong points with the actors, but at least he has strong points everywhere else.
Well, I already conceived the CGI, but you know one scene where I thought the CGI didn't work, or one sequence rather, where the CGI didn't work at all?
I know what you're going to say.
Obi-Wan at Geonosis?
No, I thought you were going to say Annie and Padme, and I am calling him Annie, by the way.
Okay.
Annie and Padme in Geonosis, like with the machines and the...
Yes, the assembly line
assembly
sequence.
Assembly line, yeah.
Oh God, why was that even there? I forgot about that.
Why'd you remind me? Green screen.
Why'd you remind
me? It was like Legolas jumping off that like giant elephant thing.
No, it was C-3PO going through the assembly line and Chewie saving him.
No.
This is your stupid poetry situation again.
Oh, you're talking about the fact that that happens?
Yeah.
I was talking about the CGI. I just mean, listen.
CGI was fine. I
watching it in a theater back then, we didn't care. Probably. That's just the nature of it. 100%
we didn't, because in 2002, we hadn't seen anything better.
Right.
And it was the same thing with 99 in Phantom Menace, and it was the same thing with Revenge. Like every Star Wars movie that came out at that time, the prequels, the CGI was like at par with the best in the world, 100%.
Right.
But the Geonosis sequence where Obi-Wan goes and he actually finds out the clone army and the guys who are running Geonosis.
He's like looking down from the rafters to Count Dooku.
And also the aliens who are running the planet and all, they were all pure CGI.
Yeah.
Oh, didn't work.
One of them was literally just a dude in like a metallic suit making like weird noises. But then Star Wars does this a lot, man. Now, like with J.J. Abrams going to all practical effects, well, not all, but like so much more practical effects in The Force Awakens, a lot of that didn't hold up because I was like, oh, I can see how a prop master would take little scraps of everyday objects and build this quote-unquote alien, and then a sound designer would give him noise. So I mean, it's fine, man. Like, whatever. Some CGI aliens here and there, big deal.
Yeah, no. CGI overall, great. Everything else, nah. Not good at all.
Okay.
Horrible, horrible movie.
I love lamb and I hate sand. So
this movie is literally, according to me, the biggest reason why Star Wars gets hate. It's the only reason why Star Wars gets hate. If this movie was eliminated...
Firstly, The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi are now huge reasons why Star Wars gets hate.
Superior movies to this compared to
people
this.
People survived the prequels, but Star Wars is not going to survive the sequels, for sure.
I think it will, because of the ancillary stuff like The Mandalorian and the standalone movies and all. And just given the way the movie industry works right now, it has a long, long tail for sure, man, Star Wars.
I mean, because Star Wars gone and like the fandom, and like we said, we are super fans. But
if they make more movies like this, Star Wars is going to be in a big, big sort of...
Listen, I'm not saying Star Wars should be like this or anything. I'm not denying that if they made 5 more Attack of the Clones, Star Wars would be in trouble.
Star Wars would be dead.
I just think this movie gets more hate than it deserves.
Okay, where does this movie rank in terms of the worst 3 Star Wars movies according to you?
This is a very unfair question.
Come on, like it'll be stupid if you say this is it's in my top 5 Star Wars. Is it in your top 5 Star Wars?
It's not.
Okay, is it in your bottom 5 Star Wars?
I don't think we should compare it to Star Wars movies either. Like, we should just, as a movie, it's not bad.
But as a Star Wars movie?
As a Star Wars movie, there are better Star Wars movies, but I hate the sequel.
Okay,
so
are there worse Star Wars movies?
Yeah, there are worse Star Wars movies.
Like Solo? I'm assuming
Solo
you're going to say Solo.
Is like the worst Star Wars movie ever made, for sure.
Okay.
And then, in terms of what I felt as a fan after watching Star Wars movies, or after rewatching Star Wars movies, I think this movie ranks higher than both Force Awakens and Last Jedi. Boom, there, I said it.
I feel a little sick in my stomach right now. Force Awakens, I can still understand why people would say that.
Okay, well then you're with me for half of this.
No, I don't agree with you. I would understand why you would say that, but Last Jedi, I don't understand that at all.
Dude, I just think maybe because it's like writer, director, creator of Star Wars making it, right? But this movie is Star Wars. There's just no denying it because It's like so crucial to the lore. It builds on it and adds something to it. It almost justifies, like, usually prequels have this problem where you're like, oh man, why am I seeing something where I know it's going to happen? But like the turn of Vader is interesting and this lays the foundation. The sequels are just like, I kind of wish they didn't even exist.
You know, if this would have been a tight 1 hour, 30 minutes where the focus would have been on the turn of Anakin and less on the love story, because the love story also gets cemented in third a little bit more. I think this would have been...
No, it doesn't. It's third starts with her announcing she's pregnant.
Yeah, but then there are a lot of Annie Padme scenes in three as well.
You jumped to Annie as
well. Yeah, because I'm just trying to humor you. There are a lot of Anakin Padme scenes in three as well. So their relationship gets cemented even further. If they would have toned down on the Annie Padme here...
But like his obsession with Padme is so crucial to justifying the turn.
Mm-hmm.
And so his you know, vision of his mother, like you said, mm-hmm. to justify why his vision of Padme he feels like is going to be true. I think like this weird creep factor and him eventually just like Stockholm syndroming her into loving him.
Yeah.
I just think it all works weirdly.
Also Padme, dude, like weird choice in a lover.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I've seen weirder couples.
Yeah, but the kid literally turned legal, man.
So what, bro? Love is love. Hashtag love is love.
Also, like,
it's not like she's Woody Allening him.
Also, it's pretty like the most of the Jedi's, or at least Obi-Wan, know what's happening between Anakin and Padme. At least the second half of the movie, they get a fair idea. No efforts to stop, no efforts to talk him out of it, no efforts to just like you're a Jedi, love is the whatever. That's it.
Love is love, bro.
Love is love.
Yeah. Obi-Wan's like a father, you know?
Right.
Like sometimes you see your kid go wayward, but you have to stick with him.
I mean, to not Anakin's credit, but to the credit of this argument, Obi-Wan also has some sort of a love affair in Clone Wars. So
yeah, supposedly.
Yeah, no, it's pretty clear.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And then Rey was supposed to be his daughter maybe until...
that was the theory, yeah.
Until Rian Johnson was like, screw all that.
Yeah, because that love affair isn't as fleshed out as Annie and Padme.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually with the Mandalorian princess.
See, there we go. That's why.
Brush up on your Clone Wars when you get time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, begun they have for me now. Okay. So I'm going to go catch up on it now. Are we done? Because I've done my best here.
Yeah, I know. Valiant effort.
Just like Lucas.
Yeah, I congratulate you. You tried your best.
Thank you.
It's very hard defending this movie.
And I think I succeeded. And the listeners will agree.
You should stop. Stop when you're on somewhat of a high.
If Lucas didn't, I won't either.
So that was this week's episode of Film Feud. Hope you guys enjoyed.
Thank you for listening. Now we feuded and you, our listeners, get to decide who you think won the feud. You can vote on our social media at Muncha Movies, or you can find us on YouTube, also at the channel Muncha Movies.
You can also find us wherever you get your podcasts or our website, munchamedia.com.
Until next week.
Bye-bye.